Exodus 15. He said, if you will listen carefully to the voice of the Lord your God and do what is right in his sight, obeying his commands and keeping his decrees, then I will not make you suffer any of the diseases I sent on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord who heals you. Man, what an awesome contract. If we listen carefully to the voice of the Lord your God and do what is right in his sight, obey his commands, keep his decrees, I will not allow you to suffer any of the diseases I sent on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord who heals you. Praise God. Father, thank you and help us to do our part. You're always willing to do yours, just help us to do ours. We are the ones with the struggle here. You haven't changed. You're still the same. And you still do what you promised. Now help us to align ourselves rather than resist you, rebel against you, say, I'm independent. I can do what I want. Say, I'm going to do what you want, sir. And watch your blessing fall on us in myriads of ways. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. I want to talk to you just for a few minutes before we go to the table of the Lord about steps in the right direction to receive healing. One of the first things that I want to mention tonight is that we need to guard our hearts. So guard your heart. And I hope you'll take some moments to write some of this down, because when you face a crisis in health, these are some of the steps that will enable you to find clarity. Guard your heart. When we have received a negative report, the spirit of fear immediately tries to overwhelm us. And we immediately want to reach out and instinctively begin to tell everybody around us what's happening in the circumstance. And periodically, the Holy Spirit will tell us to keep silent. He doesn't want us to lend a voice to the spirit of fear. And we need to be careful who we talk to as a part of that process. Because sometimes you'll say something to somebody, inevitably say, oh, a friend of mine had that and they died. And that's not what you want, for people to stoke your fears. You want people that you trust and rely on, who are people of faith, that will encourage you. When Donna received a report related to her cancer, and we begin to pray for a miracle, and God led us in that prayer, one of the things that she did immediately was guard her heart. Very careful. The two of us became very careful about what we were allowing to be heard related to this matter. We wanted to hear from God. We wanted to hear from his word. And we wanted people around us that knew how to pray and believe and trust the Lord. Amen? So instead, the Lord will tell us to immediately go to prayer and immediately begin to discern who it is we want to hear from. There's wisdom in listening to the Holy Spirit when we encounter tough situations. And it's imperative that we're careful about who we listen to. We're careful we share our fears with someone, and then they pour out an additional level of fear, an additional level of, oh my goodness, and the circumstance worsens because we are now overwhelmed by fear, and I have to deal not only then with my own natural fears, but the ones they're projecting on me as well. So choose to share with those who lift you up and offer wise counsel. Amen. And I've learned in each crisis, it's wise to seek the Holy Spirit's counsel and ask, Holy Spirit, which spiritual leader would you have me partner with in prayer for this situation? Who should I speak with? Sometimes he starts off by being alone our prayer partner. Sometimes he will encourage me to get input and support from a spiritual mentor that he leads me to that I know is going to speak faith into my heart. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. Amen? It's a great word from the word of the living God. Partner with those who will believe with you, for the full promises of God to come to fruition. The word encourages us to guard our hearts with all diligence so we are at peace. Peace is a very important component to receiving healing from the Lord. We can pray effectively when we are peaceful because we know our God and what he's capable of doing. And we have relaxed instead of become uptight and in a constant state of emergency. And I hear the Holy Spirit say to my heart during times like that of crisis. And Donna experienced it, and I experienced it on my journey. And I heard him whisper into my spirit, "Be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that he is the Lord, and that if he is for me, who can be against me?" And then all of a sudden, out of the process of that peace, you punch through the barrier and God brings to you full restoration. It's amazing how when you get into that moment and you get into that zone of peace with him, that everything begins to fall in the right direction. Now, we may feel it's too late given a certain circumstance, but we always depend on the prompting of the Holy Spirit for the final decisions and the final matriculation of the condition. I was thinking about Glenn Everett, and I spoke with him this morning. Doctor said it's impossible for you to ever recover from what you have in your lungs. That cancer, it's irreversible. There's anything science can do to fix what you have. You're stage four. No one in our entire experience here at this hospital has ever, ever, ever recovered from what you have. And he's still living, breathing, and cancer-free. And thanks be to God because he gets the final say. Amen? That's right. So be careful of your emotions and your feelings, even when based on factual circumstances, because those will start to dictate our response. And that's not what I want to dictate my response. I want the word of the Lord and the spirit of the Lord to dictate my response. Our response must always be dictated by the truth of God's word, by the prompting of the Holy Spirit as he reveals the truth to us. Therefore, the Holy Spirit instructs us to guard our hearts. Watch the kinds of emotions that come flying out of there. And sometimes I pray a prayer like this: Father, I break every prayer that's ever been prayed in my presence that says, "If it be your will, let there be a good outcome." And I want to cut through every prayer like that and declare it is your will in this circumstance, that you give me life and that more abundantly, and I shall live and not die. Father, do only what you can do, because no one else can do this. The doctors have done everything they know how. Thank you for what they do. Now we press in for your creative ability. Thank you for guarding my heart and the heart of others that I choose to be around. We solely look to you in Jesus' name. And then I advise you to default into your prayer language. This is a very important component. And most people neglect this, but you cannot afford to neglect this. Default into your prayer language, even though it may sound strange to your ears. We need the Holy Spirit to pray perfect prayers from and through our hearts. Whatever needs to be prayed in the will of God in a given circumstance needs to be prayed so heaven can answer. Now, I shared this on a Wednesday night. I want to share it with you tonight. This is from Carl Peterson, a medical doctor who is a brain specialist. He works with neurology exclusively. And listen to what he writes in his discovery. He said, "In all my research, there is a relationship between the brain and praying in your prayer language." He said, "I found that as we pray in the Spirit and worship in the Spirit in our heavenly language, the brain releases two chemical secretions that are directed into our immune system, giving a 35 to 40% boost to the immune system. This promotes healing within our bodies. And he said, amazingly, this secretion is triggered from a part of the brain that has no other apparent activity in humans and is only activated by prayer, Spirit-led, Holy Spirit-led prayer and worship. End quote. So what does that mean? God, again, has designed, before science has uncovered it or discovered it, into us mechanisms by which he promotes healing in our bodies. Use your prayer language. Amen? So you may start with a strong, warring tone at times, and as you continue to pray, you sense the prayer is migrating into more of a light and easy tone because you know the Holy Spirit is accomplishing what you have prayed for and targeted what you're praying about. It's like the doctor coming back after having given you a negative report. Then you go back for another checkup, and there's been this divine turnaround, and he says to you, somebody's been taking very good care of you. We looked at this one report, and now we're looking at this report. Yeah, God has performed a miracle, and we're rejoicing. So I encourage you to guard your heart by putting the Word of God and its promises above everything else. Dare to believe God for your miracle. Put God's Word above the things in your life that look impossible. Put God's Word above the diagnosis that the doctor has given you. Put God's Word above the words of unbelief that have been spoken to you. And then partner with others. Paul wrote to the church at Philippi, and he said, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. Do you start your day that way? Thank him for all he's done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything that we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. So what's the path to guarding your heart? Prayer and thanksgiving are important to having peace and guarding our hearts. And we need to continuously seek the Holy Spirit and his guidance, stepping through the course of the day that lies ahead of us. Usually the most effective way to overcome life challenges, listen to the prompting of the Spirit of the Lord and the direction of a still small voice, and also be with those connecting with those who you have chosen to partner with, and then ask them to make a commitment to pray with us. Let me show you an example in the Bible. Esther. This is one who followed the wise advice and partnered with others in prayer and fasting to obtain a breakthrough for the Jewish people. Esther was a Jew, grew up under the care of Mordecai, her uncle, and as a young woman, she was called to the palace and eventually chosen to replace the queen. Now she's in this immense Babylonian empire. So it was when the king's command and decree was heard that when many young women were gathered at Shushan, the citadel under the custody of Haggai, Esther was taken to the king's palace under the care of Haggai, the custodian of the women. Now the young woman pleased him, and she obtained his favor. So he readily gave beauty preparations to her besides her allowance. Then 7 choice maidservants were provided for her from the king's palace, and he moved her and her maidservants to the best place in the house for the women. Amazing how wise she was and how favorite she was. Esther had not revealed her people or family, for Mordecai had charged her not to reveal it. They did not know she was a Jewess. Her uncle had given her clear instruction, don't tell anybody, okay? Which became very important, essentially important, when she was taken into the palace of the king. And as the story unfolds, it's discovered that there was a plot by Naaman to annihilate all the Jews. Let's kill them all. Then Haman said to King Ahasuerus, there is a certain people scattered and dispersed among the people in the provinces of your kingdom. Their laws are different from all other peoples, and they did not keep the king's laws. Therefore, it's not fitting for the king to let them remain. If it pleases the king, let a decree be written that they may be destroyed. So the king places his seal on the decree, and now Esther is in mortal danger, and so are all her people. And Mordecai knew that Esther was not safe in the palace, even though she's the queen. But she believed that she could save her people if she could stand before the king and make an appeal, and that was potentially punishable by death itself. And Mordecai told them to answer Esther, "Do not think in your heart that you will escape in the king's palace any more than any other Jews. For if you remain completely silent at this time, relief and deliverance will arise for the Jews from another place, but you and your father's house will perish. Yet who knows whether you have come to the kingdom for such a time as this? Then Esther told them to reply to Mordecai, I go gather all the Jews who are present at Shushan and fast for me, neither eat nor drink for 3 days, night or day. My maids and I will fast likewise, and so I will go to the king, which is against the law, and if I perish, I perish. So Mordecai went his way and did according to all that Esther commanded him. So Esther demonstrated great courage. She comes before the king with her petition. She chose to partner with others in prayer. Notice that. She partners with others with prayer and fasting. Esther guarded her heart from fear. She was bold in the presence of the Lord. And the word tells us that the favor of the king is extended to Esther, and she prevails in saving the entire Jewish nation. The scripture says in Galatians 6:2, bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. It says in Matthew, for where two or three are gathered together in my name, I am there in the midst of them. Everything revolves around agreement with God and with his people. We know that prayer is the language of heaven. It's one of the greatest privileges that we have, that we as believers can agree in prayer for the needs of other people in the body of Christ. And it's awesome to realize that the one who created the worlds and the universe, he wants the deepest and most intimate expression of our hearts to come to him. And he answers the cries of our hearts when we knit ourselves together in agreement. How important is the unity of believers to him? Jesus taught it's the key to releasing the power of Almighty God. Listen to one of the most powerful statements ever made by the Son of God. When two of you get together on anything at all on earth and make a prayer of it, my Father in heaven goes into action. And when two or three of you are together because of me, you can be sure I'll be there. Jesus puts himself in the middle of prayers of agreement. There's special power that only happens when we stand together in full lockstep agreement with people who believe as we do in the scripture. Amen? And believers must be united. Paul says, now I plead with you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. So who are the people I should ask to join me in prayer? The word gives us this counsel. We beseech you, 1 Thessalonians 5:12, brethren, to know them which labor among you. So we pray with people you trust in the Spirit. There's mighty power available to us when we follow God's mandate to pray in agreement. Are you listening? Very important. So as we allow others to speak with us and share with us and pray with us, if two of you on earth agree as touching anything, you shall have it of my Father. We invite them into our journey to encourage us and to pray with us. And you can do that best in connect groups, because you're partnering with people you learn about and trust and you develop a relationship with, and you know they're not negative, and you pick those that you know are those that are going to be encouragers, and you get with them out of that connect group, and you develop a relationship when you're in a crisis and say, I need you to join your faith to mine and pray with me so we'll have a miracle. Amen? Then living in victory. There are always keys to achieving God's breakthroughs. God's our healer. I read it to you. I am the Lord who heals you. And we have to declare, you are the God who heals me. I own that with you. We got our conversations. So we just don't talk about all the time our pains and our weaknesses and sicknesses. We believe together for healing. We work on remaining thankful that God's grace is at work and present in our lives, working this whole process out. We're learning in this process. We're growing closer to Jesus in this process. We're drawing nigh unto him in a way that we never did before. We guard our words. so that children and younger believers in the faith are not burdened and crushed by our concerns, and we become implicitly in full trust with the Lord, no matter what the crisis is we're facing. Listen to it in Psalm 126. When the Lord restored, we were like those who dreamed. And they're coming home now. And we're coming out of exile. Our mouths were filled with laughter, our tongues with songs of joy. Then it was said, the Lord has done great things for them. The Lord has done great things for us. And we are filled with joy. Amen. We give God all the glory for being our healer, and joy and laughter, we begin to return. God has truly done great things for us. Then fight lying symptoms. Learn to celebrate. You're a giant killer. You're walking out of the circumstance that has required a miracle. You're leaving the disease behind you. You're leaving all of its symptoms behind you. Your soul is free. You're talking to God. You're liberated, right? Even though you win victories, you're still going to face future challenges that come to all of us. Well, I thought I knocked that giant down. I'll never have to fight again. Wrong. Check the life of David. He fought a lot of times after Goliath. So even though you walked into your promised land, the enemy will always look for an opportunity to lay another trap for you, create another symptom for you. And I want to tell you right now, it's a lying symptom. I want you to keep guarding your heart. And if anything starts coming against you, do not say in a fearful voice, oh no, I'm losing my healing. The disease is returning. Don't confess that. Instead, exclaim, no. No, I refuse this. Laugh in the face of the adversary. Oh, no, you don't. You've tried that before. Make no agreement with the adversary and start praying, Father, although I sense this physically, I'm still standing here receiving your health and healing. I declare these symptoms have no right because of the blood of Jesus. I make no agreement with them. I will not lose my peace over them. Your promises belong to me. Your banner over me is no fear, and I will live in victory. And if symptoms return and persist, ask the Holy Spirit to reveal the cause. Say, show me. To expose the fear that's attacking your mind. Ask him, why? Why is this physical symptom returning? And his reply may be something like this. You're partnering with fear over your finances. And you'll say, huh? What's that got to do with this physical symptom I have? Odd, isn't it? Here's what I've learned in crisis. Here's what I've learned going through battles and fighting off devils. The Holy Spirit will pinpoint something else, not the issue you're worried about, something else he wants to work on. And you realize there's an area in my life where I'm not totally and completely trusting the Lord and submitted to God. So instead, because of that, it's opened the door for me to partner with fear. We realize that we have to let go of peace, right? And our peace is dissipating because we're allowing fear to come in and we're getting controlled by the circumstances we haven't yet dealt with. We can get focused on circumstances rather than the power and the provision of the Lord. So whatever that is that he pinpoints, you take it to him and you yield that to him. Because he's going to come in the middle of your crisis and start checking you about some things that he's wanted to get to in your life. And this has become the avenue by which now he has an open opportunity to say to you, I want to deal with this. But wait a minute, Lord, I want you to heal me of this. I will, but I want to deal with this. And this may very well be connected to this. And when I yield to him here, I may find myself on my road to recovery over here, right? So in that moment, we learn to repent. We thank God. You showed me an area of weakness that sometimes manifested in my life. And you notice the symptoms and the challenges all of a sudden start backing up into full retreat as soon as there's been repentance for not fully trusting God in every area of my life. Often we're not aware of the doors that we have opened, sometimes without even consciously doing it, to the enemy, because we have not submitted something in our lives fully to the Lord. Seek the presence of the Holy Spirit and say to him, make me sensitive to any area where I'm not fully trusting you. Do not be afraid of conviction from the Lord. It's a healthy thing when he convicts us. He corrects us because he loves us. And he's trying to get us well. And sometimes I have to get well in here before I can get well physically. My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor detest his correction. For whom the Lord loves, he corrects, as a father the son in whom he delights. Thank you, Jesus. I told the Lord and told the Holy Spirit, you know what? I didn't have the opportunities to do it often enough. My dad wasn't around long enough for me to be able to express some of the things I learned later in life. That's one of the first things I'm going to say to Dad when I see him in heaven. I'm going to throw my arms around him and I'm going to say, Dad, thank you for correcting me when I needed it. I made it because you would not let me off the hook. You held me accountable, right? I'm going to thank him for that because it kept my life in a road that needed to be where God could use me where he wanted to use me. So let me go back to the passage in John 5 when Jesus spoke to the man who was paralyzed by the pool of Bethesda. And Jesus asked, do you want to be made well? Do you want to get well? And the Holy Spirit is asking that question at the table of the Lord. Do you want to get well? Do you want to be whole? Do we intend to want to be made whole? Are we pursuing healing with focus, determination? And we thank the Holy Spirit for being patient with us because we're sometimes not quick to respond when he starts pinpointing things in our hearts. He chooses to give us life and give it to us more abundantly, and we should learn to cooperate more fully. Even when there's immediate pain at his conviction and his correction, we should say, thank you, I needed that. Thank you, I repent of that. And remember, the Holy Spirit's your friend. He won't condemn you. He'll convict you. Amen? And correct you. And then wind in your sails. You need some of that. Sometimes healing will be achieved after months or a period of time or a season. You've spent time praying, worshiping, reading the Word, dialoguing with the Holy Spirit, journaling what he's saying to you, and then breakthrough comes and a new and beautiful season explodes in your life. Joy returns to the heart and your heart is full and the love of God is oozing out of you. There's nothing impossible with God. What he will do for one, he'll do for another. So let me encourage you, continue your journey from your heart and never, ever give up. And never underestimate the power of God to heal us in a variety of ways. Now, God worked unusual miracles by the hands of Paul, so that even handkerchiefs or aprons were brought from his body to the sick, and the diseases left them, and evil spirits went out of them. Listen, there's such anointing on this man when the Holy Spirit's at work that he couldn't get to everybody physically, so he'd wear some handkerchiefs on his body or aprons, and he would just believe God, and through the power of touch and connection, the power of the enemy was broken in the areas where he was causing a problem for people, and the power of disease was broken. There were healings. And some of that seems to be unusual. Understand this. God has power to heal that is even transferable through animate objects. I mean, just something that you wear, like I just read to you, inanimate objects. So if you're listening to a message from the Lord in the privacy of your home, you can reach out to the source of the Word of God and ask God, bring healing through what I'm hearing right now in that delivery of that podcast on the Wi-Fi. Always remember Jeremiah 29, for I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. And grab hold of that. And then there's a very important principle. that I think we overlook. I like getting excited about God's presence, and we should. The scriptures replete with this. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Express thanksgiving with instruments and loud singing, clapping, expressiveness. But there's moments when the Holy Spirit says, now quiet down. Be still and know He is the Lord. And I was doing a little research a couple of weeks ago. And every once in a while I go back to some of the great people of faith and learn some of the lessons that I wish I could have learned earlier in my ministry. In Catherine Kuhlman's ministry years ago, there were times in services, in almost every service, she would announce these two words, quiet, please. And she was serious. Her talented organist played very softly or not at all when she said that. And everybody got silent. I mean, there were thousands of people. I mean, thousands. 25, 28,000 people, sometimes more. And that would sometimes last up to 10 minutes in a service that could last 3 or 4 hours. It was almost overwhelming when she did that. You can go back and watch that, because some of those episodes are still recorded. And she would speak emphatically, especially if someone would start getting very emotional and they'd start shaking and start expressing, and she would say, I said, be quiet. And, you know, we were raised in Pentecost. We thought, huh? We're supposed to make a lot of noise for Pentecostals. So it was kind of odd. It was like, what's that mean? Finally, she would say, barely audibly in a whisper, He comes in when we are quiet. And she repeated, He comes in when you are quiet. And then it would happen in the room. If you ever were in any of her meetings, you observed this. All over the auditorium, miracles started happening. Boom, boom, all over. One by one, in front of everybody, people of all ages would quietly make their way to the platform. The anointing had moved across that room, started healing people, and they would quietly make their way to the auditorium, up to the front of the stage in the auditorium. And she would call them forward one by one and have them express what it was that the Holy Spirit had just done for them in healing them without fanfare, without all kinds of, you know, we've got to do this next and we've got to do that next and the other next and all. Quiet, quiet, she would say. So I was looking at some of the articles related to her. The great Bible teacher, Dwight Moody, said, if I can take an unbeliever and get him quiet for 5 minutes, and in those 5 minutes have him think about eternity, I can get him saved. I won't have to say anything. Wow. Yeah, because we don't like getting quiet. We make so much noise. We're so distracted constantly with so much stuff going on all around us that we don't stop the noise long enough. Turn off all the incoming that we've got always around us and get quiet before God. Be still and know He is the Lord. Now let me give you quickly biblical principles that enable you to receive your miracles tonight. As we get ready for the table of the Lord, DL, we're ready, okay? Number one, find the scripture and stand on it. Let the Holy Spirit lead you to a passage and stand on it. Once that pops off the page, you own it, it's mine. I'm standing on this. Secondly, worship the Lord. Get in a place where you can quietly worship God and honor Him. And when I say worship, that means from the depth of your being, let it all come out. So you begin to know, I know He is Lord. And I worship You. And I love You. You're my Creator. You made me on purpose. And I ascribe all value to You. And third, you enter into the rest, the peace I talked about. All the anxiety, the nodding, starts to get released. I'm at rest in this. I'm okay. Forgive yourself and others, because we have to say to the Lord, yes, I wasn't consciously aware at times of how that offended You, but now I know, and I repent of that. And I want to be forgiven, and I want to forgive myself, and I want to forgive any other person who may have done something that I have not let go of. I'm going to do what the preacher said this morning. He did a good job, that preacher, this morning, and let it go. And let it go. All right, stop being negative. Change your mindset. Everywhere in the world we go, there's negative, negative, negative. Stay away from it and start thinking God thoughts. Whatsoever things are pure, noble, of good report, think on these things. Amen? Change the mindset. Number six, you reap what you sow. If you're spewing negative, you're going to get it back. If you're spewing anger and being upset, that's what you're going to get back. Whatsoever a man sows, that's what he's going to reap. So, sow good, sow cheer. In fact, when you're sick and you're struggling, go pray for other people. It's amazing what God will do in blessing you back for having faith to help somebody else. Give thanks in all things. God, I don't understand this. I know there's a journey involved in my life for this, and the end of which is very important, but the journey is important. What it is I'm learning about You and about myself that I never learned before, and I'm thankful for that, right? So I'm giving You thanks, even though I don't like this, and I wouldn't necessarily put this on my to-do list, but I'm thankful. This is where You have me right now, and I totally belong to You. And then start confessing the Word of God. Number eight, start saying it aloud. Start listening to it in your hearing and saying it yourself, repeating it. I own this. It belongs to me. Number nine, lay hands on yourself as well as others. Believe God to heal you. As well as you go pray for somebody else, put your hand where you need healing and say, Lord, in Jesus' name, I need You to touch my life. Always pray in the name of Jesus. It's important. Jesus commanded that. He said, you go to the Father and you pray in my name. In my name. The name of Jesus. Live under the banner of no fear. I'm not going to allow the spirit of fear to direct my steps. He'll just beat the tar out of me. I'm going to believe in the goodness of my God. Take the Lord's Supper every day. We learn to do that. I'm telling you, there's something about the table of the Lord that brings you close to Him. I would break that bread every day and drink that cup every day. When I pick it up, I remember the words of Paul and I remember the words of Jesus. When I pick up that bread, I am receiving the brokenness of Jesus into my life for my health. I'm receiving the blood of Jesus that works just as strongly and powerfully today for my redemption and forgiveness. I'm thankful he keeps me by his blood. His blood and his bread, the bread of the body and the blood, bring health and healing to me spiritually and physically. Plead your case before the throne. Come and make your petitions known. You have access to the Father. Come boldly to the throne of grace. Say, Father, you're my daddy. You made me. I need health. Pray in the Holy Spirit. I explain why that's valuable to you. You will affect your physical body praying in the Spirit. Number 15, make peace with yourself. Don't beat yourself up. Well, you know, if I didn't do that, maybe this wouldn't have happened. If I'd done the other, maybe the other would. Stop that. Just trust God. He's got you. Number 16, invite God into every room of your heart. Don't keep any doors closed. Well, you know, I'm going to give you this now. I didn't give you that before, but I'm going to give it. But this one over here, I'm just kind of, you know, not sure yet. No. Just crack open every door and say, wherever you want to go, whatever you want to do. And always live in hope that God will grant you your breakthrough. Every day, repeat, I serve the God who heals me. I trust the God who's got me. Amen? Number 18, submit yourself to God and resist the devil. I'm submitted to the Lord. He has me. I'm in his hands. I'm going to resist the temptations the enemy throws in my direction. Partner with others. Get into a group of people that will pray with you, stand with you, partner with you every single day. They'll say, well, I'm with you. We'll connect with you every day. And get in a group at least once a week and say, hey, these are the needs we have. We're going to pray for one another. I'm going to pray for you. You're going to pray for me. And every day. There's a brother of ours that we've known for a number of years. And I did it for, I received it myself. And that's where it started when I was on my journey. Then I began to send it to Donna, and she would send it to a friend of ours who was going through a crisis. And then there's a brother that I know very, very well, known him for years, been a friend of ours. And every day I texted him. He had brain surgery, and his doctor said, I don't want any stimulation because you've got to be very quiet over the next few weeks because we don't want you overstimulated as you recover from this brain surgery. So every day I texted him a passage of scripture with some words of hope attached to it. And after about 3 or 4 days, when he could finally even text back, he would say, thank you, praise God, thank you. Just filled him every day and let him know, I'm praying for you, Robert. I love you. I'm standing with you. God's going to restore you. And so he texts me on Friday, this past Friday, and he says, I just got released from my doctor to drive my car again. He said, I'm well. I'm on my way fully, completely to recovery. That's what we need to do with each other and for each other. And partner with others. Number 20, fight lying symptoms. When you feel, oh, it must be a hard, don't go to the worst case scenario, okay? I've got a pain. That must mean I'm going to die. I'm going to have a heart attack. Stop, okay? Fight lying symptoms. And number 21, always enjoy where the Holy Spirit is leading you, because he's going to take you on a journey in the process of healing. And enjoy that. Don't skip the milestones. He's gotten the markers on the journey. Every one of those markers is an important factor in the process of getting you from this season into the season of health. Are you listening? I hope you're writing some of these down, because they're important principles that will help you in the process of receiving from the Lord. Now, wow, that looks pretty cool, huh? And you might want to snap a picture of that so you can keep it for your future reference. So here, can you pray this prayer aloud with me right now? Well, those that are serving, I want you to come to the table, but all the rest of us, I want you to pray this prayer with me aloud, and you can too, those that are serving, but I just need you to take your place. Say, Father, thank you for this incredible journey. thank you for what lies ahead of me is better than what is behind me. That's good. But stay in unison, would you please? Thank you for your abundant mercy and grace, come on, which is renewed every morning. I celebrate my life. I'm grateful to be in blood covenant with you. I choose to live in the hope of your promises and trust always that you are good. Help me to dream looking forward. By faith in your word, through your wounds and broken body, I receive my healing in the name of Jesus. Now rejoice. Amen.